you recently wrote a piece about how the legal profession is a man's world. Can you paint a picture of what that means for women in the industry on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, thanks, Dawn. So it's uneven, so it's not the same for all women, and certainly women have achieved success within the legal profession. But it's really clear from a number of inquiries and reports that have come out over the years that the way that the legal profession functions is really difficult on women, particularly where women take time off to have children or have caring responsibilities for either children or elderly relatives, and also in terms of sexual harassment. So the Law Council of Australia has carried out reports and various law societies around Australia, and it's been a really consistent method for years. Now, I went through law school in the late 80s, then started in the profession in 1990, and my intake at the University of Queensland was the first intake where there was 50% women, and we now have about 60% of law graduates today are women. And yet at the upper ranks of the profession in the judiciary, we've got, you know, roughly a third of judicial officers are women. In private practice, only about, you know, 21%, I think, is a fairly persistent figure of partners. And so we're seeing that that a lot of women leaving the profession at about that sort of five-year mark after post-admission because the structures in the profession really don't suit women's lives and, in fact, exclude them from, continuing and having a successful career into the long term.
You touched on sexual harassment, and obviously, as you kind of said, we don't want to tar every experience and every lawyer with the same brush, but how the culture of the profession tacitly accepts sexual harassment as just part and parcel for women. Could you expand on that one, as you've sort of pointed out in some of your written work?
Yeah, so I mean, the way that it works is that if you've got a very blokey culture, you know, you've got a drinking culture, you've got a lot of circumstances where men gather at sporting functions, you know, like the football in corporate boxes, and there's all this sort of networking that goes on in a very masculine oriented way. Now, that would be fine, except what that does is it creates an environment where, and this is a reflection of society more broadly, where if you have circumstances where men talk about women in a way that objectifies women or in an overtly sexual way, you've got this environment where people are going along with it, okay? And part of that too is that where you have senior people, powerful men who are engaging in this kind of discourse, it's very hard for other men to speak up against it, and they sort of get carried along with this sort of environment. Now, where you translate that into the workplace itself, you have a situation where that's not just blokes, you know, gosh, we hear people talk about, you know, locker room talk and this sort of thing. You don't just have men talking in that way, you actually have men acting out on those sorts of ideas. And that's where sexual harassment can occur. It's not a question of two people being attracted to each other in the workplace. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is men in positions of power who know that they can use that power against women because women can't speak out. They know that other men know that it goes on. And in fact, you have this, what's been described in the media lately, as an open secret. So women know the men to avoid. And when other women come into the workplace or at the bar, they know not to be alone in chambers with certain other, either judges or other barristers. You hear of solicitors who've been sexually harassed either by other solicitors or by barristers. And they can't speak out about it. There's no one to talk to about it because everyone just thinks, oh, that's just the way it is. And if you want to get ahead, you can't be tarred with that brush of being a troublemaker or speaking out, against these behaviours. And this is something that contributes to a lot of women either leaving or actually suffering quite a lot of anxiety in the workplace.
As you pointed out, this is not exclusive to the law world. It does crop up in workplace cultures of other industries as well. This week's events, though, specifically for the law industry, do you think the events of this week will spark a larger conversation?
I think they will. I mean, we see this all the time. Of course, every time something happens, we go, yay, now is the time. Everything is going to change, you know. The big difference this week is that we have the most senior law officer in the land of the peak legal institution who has come out, and she has said in her statement, we believe these women. And she has said, we are making changes that will make this a safe workplace. So it hasn't just ended there. And we've already heard reports that other former judges' associates are being interviewed to find out the extent of sexual harassment. Now, certainly for the law, this is likely to make a change. And we've seen in the past, in other contexts, where members of the profession, they call it bringing the profession into disrepute. There was a case some years ago of a barrister who hadn't paid tax in, I don't know, 50 years or something. And the profession was incensed because it was all over the front pages of the paper, and they really cracked down on that. And we now have within our professional code of practice, you can be struck off if you haven't paid your tax, right? So that's become a new professional norm. And I'm really wondering if, because of this, the high profile of this current case, if that might not actually be enough to tip us over the line to say, we're just not going to take this anymore. And everyone, both those who suffer from sexual harassment and bystanders, will now be required to come forward and to root out these behaviours.
And just on a final note, Kate, is there any other changes you feel could be made in the legal profession to make it a more supportive environment for women to work in?
Yeah, it's really interesting. There's been a number of suggestions over a lot of years about the kinds of work practices within the profession that are actually, they're not just bad for women, they're actually bad for everyone. They create a lot of workplace stress and anxiety, and really, what we know from the cases where solicitors have been accused of misconduct, often that happens alongside intense workplace stress. So what we're talking about is not just healthy workplace practices for women, we're talking about healthy workplace practices for everyone. So that relates to the way that lawyers bill and those pressures on them to charge, you know, on the hourly rate. It relates to workplace flexibility. It relates to alternative career progression and different ways of measuring success in your practice, and a much more less emphasis on what they call presenteeism. You know, so being there for long hours and that's seen as a badge of honour instead of saying it's very unhealthy for you to be working 14-hour days, you know, 7 days a week. Those are the kinds of changes that could actually start to change the entire culture of the profession.
Well, Kate, obviously an important one. Do appreciate you joining us this morning and helping us unpack it a little bit.
Thanks so much, Sean. See you.